Clustered Conversations. Clustered Conversations. By Weka.
Welcome to Clustered Conversations. I'm Josh Hampton.
And I'm Bob Back. So we're here at day one of the AWS Summit in San Francisco. We just are wrapping up the day. Anything interesting going on with the customers you've seen here today, Josh?
Yeah, there's a lot of very interesting folks that have been showing up, asking really good questions, a lot of varied workloads, a lot of different kinds of problems that we're hoping we can help folks out with. Had some very large customers come by and some very small ones as well. Lots of startups for sure.
Seems like everyone's kind of moving their data up in the cloud and want to have a similar kind of workflow and performance that they have on site. We just finished watching 23andMe on stage present. That how they move their workload from their on-prem data center into the cloud, and they're now running on Weka up in AWS.
So it looked like it was a really good crowd that gathered to watch it as well. Maybe, I didn't see very many open seats there, and I was having to kind of lean over from the booth down the aisle to look. How was it? How was the attendance there, Bob?
It was good attendance, but the story was even better. He managed to show us how their price saving is working in the AWS infrastructure, but more importantly, how they were able to move their entire pipeline into AWS without changing anything. They didn't have to change code, they didn't have to retool, they didn't, and their users were able to log in and work Monday like they were able to on Friday when they left.
I mean, that's just amazing that they were seeing cost savings going into the cloud. Usually, I mean, that's one of the kind of the detriments of folks leaving looking at the cloud is what's the pricing going to be? And it was like a lot less, a little bit less, or what did it look like?
They were able to maintain the cost they had as a data center, but down in the cloud. But more importantly, they were able to get the resources they needed when they needed it, expand out, auto-scale up, auto-scale down. And more importantly, they could auto-scale their storage along with their hardware, their compute resources, their GPUs. Plus, they could upgrade into new GPU resources that became available in the cloud instead of having all the wait for hardware and everything else show up on site and all the rack and stacking configurations.
Yeah, what are the backlogs now for ordering? I don't even think it's even in the order of weeks anymore. I think it's back up to like multiple months waiting for just any sort of hardware to show up. And that's really going to slow down any kind of time to market or time to innovation.
For them, they've got petabytes of storage. They were able to migrate all up in there, landed on Weka. They were able to save money on their storage as well because they have Weka tiering going out. So they have the Weka file system running on NVMe on their EC2 instances, backed by Amazon S3, and they're using the intelligent tiering from Amazon. So it's not only backing up to S3, then it's being tiered off even further down and down and down as the data becomes colder and colder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're using the intelligent auto-tiering for the S3 itself, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely, I've talked to other customers that have asked about that kind of support as well, because there is a significant cost savings if you can use that extra cold tier of S3 and use that automated intelligent tiering.
Yep, absolutely. And so we've actually had some fun here as well. We got our demonstration booth. We got the screen up there. We had some videos running, and you know, Josh and I kind of got bored of that, so we spun up a Weka cluster up in Amazon. And we started running it this morning. We're getting about 10 gigs a second of performance off of a little...
Just a little baby cluster.
Yeah, a six-host cluster running on i3EN...
3X larges.
3X larges, yeah.
So not the smallest, but one step up, yeah.
Yep, and we're running about 22 terabytes of flash.
Yep.
And then Josh had the fun idea of adding S3 to it. So what'd you make it do?
Well, you first started up with like 100 terabyte of S3. And it's like, yeah, 100 terabyte file, so that's not bad. That looks pretty big, right? I was like, we support more than that. Let's maybe get a little bit silly. So initially we made it 4 exabytes. And I was looking at it going like, you know what? We support more than that. Let's go full Monty here and set it to 14 exabytes. And that definitely got a fair number of people coming by looking at it going, wait, is that an E? Oh, is that multiple digits of E? Is that exabytes? Like, yeah, it is. It's like, oh, well, wow, that's a lot of storage.
So I came back down, I changed it back down for you, back to 100 terabytes, and then you moved back up. So what's nice is we can change that on the fly, right? It's just we can grow and shrink the file system. We grew and shrink the NVMe layer. We grow and shrink the object store layer.
Yep.
And all while we're running I/O too, we're running a couple hundred thousand IOPS and a few gigabytes a second of throughput from a small number of clients.
Yeah, from just 4 clients. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really impressive. And I'm still amazed. We're running a parallel file system, and that we're able to not just scale up, but to scale back down as well. So if you have a workload where you need to be able to burst up in your level of performance and then come back down and constrain that to constrain costs, it's kind of a unique capability in the parallel file system space.
Yep, and we've been able to show and present to customers, demonstrate live, and also demonstrate using the pre-canned demos we brought with us.
Yep.
So it's I think it's a pretty successful show right now. So waiting on day two and start over and do this again.
Exactly right. Hopefully the bunions behave a little bit and, you know, get some Epsom salts and soak the feet and feel better tomorrow.
So we'll cut here and join us again in a few seconds and it'll be live from day two. Hey there, and welcome back to our program. I guess we took a little more time off than we planned to. Josh and I couldn't really get together on the second day to do the recordings. We're just busy running around, catching up with customers and catching up with our coworkers. So unfortunately, here we are now in our studios talking to you guys.
There we go. Well, that and just writing on BART takes a phenomenal amount of time, though it is a little bit less so than in the before four times. So that's quite pleasant.
Yeah, driving back and forth would have been a pain for you. You live out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I flew straight home, so I'm back here in Seattle.
There we go.
All right, so what did we see that day?
I think there were still some really great sessions about the new technologies that Amazon is putting out there that they're working on, stuff like their new Nitro hypervisor chip and card that they're inserting into their instances and bare metal. I think there's very interesting things that are happening around that. With what exactly is it doing again, Bob?
I believe it's a new hypervisor that allows them to be able to move faster as far as development is concerned, be able to bring new technologies in, and be able to accelerate the workloads that actually exist today in Amazon.
It's awesome.
Our customer was up there as well. We had the guy from 23andMe up on the stage talking the day before. We were supposed to interview him and kind of just, again, one of those things where we missed, unfortunately, but we will get that on the books later. But one of the neat parts.
Well, I hear there may have been a bit of a shady or kind of secret recording that happened that might end up somewhere eventually. So potentially it could be heard.
Yes, we might get that out there at some point. But what we did find out from him while he was on stage was the amazing fact that they were able to move their entire workload up in the cloud and run without changing anything except where it ran.
Yeah, what was his exact quote? It was, it just worked.
Yeah, it just worked.
So that's pretty high praise for a big lift and shift, like entire movement of your infrastructure and your workloads to just, you don't have to, you know, recode everything. You don't have to refactor your workloads, your applications, et cetera. You just kind of move where it is physically and hit go. And it just works. That's great.
And they rolled in auto-scaling to boot, right? So now they got auto-scaling. So as they hit those big points where they need lots of data work, they can spin up a few more cluster nodes, start running the work. And then after it's done, it spins back down. And
yeah. Yeah, I think from talking to them, it sounds like they were running 60-something nodes, and I guess their workloads have kind of tapered off a little bit right now, so they just scaled it back down to like 30-something instead, so they're almost half the size, 36,
Yeah, the second customer, I mean, when I first came here, we talked about another one of our customers who they started having their movement into the cloud, but their artists and their workers and they were a media entertainment company and were afraid to go to the cloud. So one weekend they had a shutdown and they just moved everything to the cloud and didn't tell any of their users. Their users logged back into their pages and started working and everything was fine. So a couple of weeks later they said, hey, we're going to move in the cloud full time. Everyone complained and they're like, well, you've been working there for 2 weeks now. So, you know, like you didn't complain then. And so now they're a fully cloud automated end-to-end workflow for a media entertainment. So from creation all the way to release.
Yeah, it's great when those sorts of like transitions can be that seamless and transparent that like literally your users don't even notice that anything has changed or anything's different. That's just that's the holy grail. That's the golden example. That's a like when you can do it that way, that's the really amazing way to be able to do it.
So for the first few minutes when Josh and I saw each other at the trade show, I was getting busy and putting together a cluster in the cloud. So I was spinning up an Amazon cluster for us so we can show our customers what we do. And, you know, I'm a little bit cheapskate, so I spun up a 22 terabyte cluster. So it was one of our smaller ones so people can see it and running IO to it again, about 10 gigs a second.
Yeah, still doing 10 gigs a second. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Right, it was just a tiny little cluster. And then Josh made fun of me for how tiny my cluster was. So we added an object store to it and made it look like 4 exabytes.
Well, at first, it wasn't 4 exabytes at first. It was like 200 or 100 terabyte or something like that. And I was like, Bob, come on. Let's throw some real numbers up there.
Yeah. So then
finally, you changed it to 4.
Yeah. And then after a little more chatting, I got it to 10. And then I was talking to customers. I turned back around and Josh is on the keyboard.
Yeah, 10 is, I mean, 4 is great. I mean, that's seeing an E anywhere. That's a big number, right? Yep. But let's put 2 digits worth of E. Why not? So 10 exabytes. And then, how about 14? Yep, 14 sounds much more interesting.
And we ran at 14 for a while. I mean, we had, 20 terabytes of NVMe fronting 14 exabytes of object.
Theoretically, it would work.
It would work. We were playing around with it, and it was fun. And customers were like, "Is that an E?" So that was, that was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, there were several people that walked up and specifically made that comment of, "Wait, hold on a second. Like, you see a number, you don't really pay that much attention. You walk up and look a little bit closer at the screening. Your head tilts a little bit. Like, wait a minute." Is that really? It's like, yeah, it is.
So Josh and I are big fans of Amazon, but we are currently both playing around in other clouds too. You know, we gotta keep our options open.
Maybe if you could support everybody, you can have your hyperscaler of choice, or more importantly, be able to do like cost arbitrage between hyperscalers.
Absolutely.
Like that's the real game-winning play if you're moving up into the cloud, is being able to seamlessly transition between different providers. Based on whatever features that they have that might be interesting to you, or hey, maybe just their instances are a little bit cheaper and you can realize some cost savings by moving a workload from one to the other.
So you and I have been testing very hard in one, just doing all sorts of crazy things, even getting up to 2 terabytes a second cluster?
Yeah, 2 terabyte per second download or read performance on that one cluster. That was pretty phenomenal.
And then Shimon is working on 2 other clouds for us, so we'll be talking to Shimon a little bit later on in this show, not this episode, but another episode. So be on the lookout for the new clouds that we got coming out. So it's gonna be interesting here at Weka. All right, so what else we got going on? I'm gonna say, hey, we got some friends right now who are hanging out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was about to say there's another interesting trade show going on right now, I believe, down there. Yeah, in Vegas, right? Yeah. NAB, right?
The National Association of Broadcasters.
Yes.
And, we've been making a lot of headway in the media entertainment space, right? We've been kind of, I've had one customer we closed last quarter. We got another one that was closed on the East Coast through our partner Hitachi. So we got some very interesting stuff going there running HCSF, which is a pretty cool combination of our two technologies together.
Plus all of our Amazon customers that are running like full-on studios in the cloud, like doing some amazing work. I think there was a Super Bowl commercial that was completely done at Amazon by that did that one?
Was it Untold? I think it was Untold.
It was
one of the, it was Untold, another one that was, they did another one that was a Sony PlayStation commercial as well, which was really beautiful.
So yeah.
There was a turtle on a skateboard in another video. There's some really cool stuff going on.
That was weird.
But we've got multiple M&E customers currently that are under test. And what really broke it open for us is our brand new SMB stack.
Yes. Right? Yeah, being able to have SMB, not just SMB 3, but 3.1 with multi-channel. And RDMA, exactly. That really uncorks the pipe there and lets you get basically line rate to your Windows system. So what I think, Bob, from some of the color correction workloads we've seen in testing, upwards of 10 or so gigabyte per second on color correction.
Well, we got the cluster itself on one SMB node of ours getting about 10 gigabytes a second of throughput of reads. For a single 4K uncompressed color correction stream, I believe we're doing about 1.5 gigabytes a second, and that was running at 2x what the frame rate of the 4K. Which meant the customer were very happy. So,
If you can do all your color correction in half the time, or
zero frames dropped. That was the best part about it, right? That's
even
what they're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfect.
You don't have to run it more than once.
Yeah.
That was a nice one. So we've been working with a lot of customers. The SMB is a brand new stack, and we've got, SMB is a neat thing to have with the RDMA, but we have the capability of NFS, SMB, S3, all as ingest and egress, if you want to, protocols into Weka.
Yep.
But what's cool about it, especially with the IoT world right now, right? There's lots of these things in
lots of little sensors just everywhere that who knows how they're sending things. Are they sending it via SMB? Is it NFS? Is it S3?
Right. They choose some protocol and they send that data and then land somewhere, and then you want to do work again. So you don't want to use the same protocol to work. So that, and you don't want to move the data somewhere else to do work either, because that's a lot of data, especially if it's like, you know, think about 3 million files. Moving 3 million files, whether you have a huge file or not, doesn't matter. It's going to take you a
long time. That's non-trivial. No. Yeah. Yeah. Especially crawling through a bunch of small files. Absolutely. Yep. That takes forever.
That's one of our claims of fame, is you can write to us with any protocol and then read using POSIX or GPU Direct or whatever protocol you want and be able to get the maximum benefit of your cluster and your storage.
All protocols, the same data all the time.
Exactly. I don't have much more, man. I mean,
Well, there's something coming up a bit later, month and a half or so that you're going to?
Yep, I'll be heading out to Hamburg, Germany. I'm going to get myself a hamburger. Hang out with the supercomputing folks. They got the supercomputing show out there. Nice. So very excited to go walk around, check out the town, and enjoy all the cool, amazing advancements in scientific computing and how we at WEKA can help them, you know, take advantage of it, right? Faster CPUs. You know, I think we might be able to talk about an ARM thing somewhere in the future as well, right? There's some you know, other protocols that Josh is excited about. Right.
Help with maybe some data lake workflows that, you know, folks are increasingly seeing get larger and larger and more difficult to accelerate.
Absolutely. Maybe some S3A. You know, there's a lot more stuff coming into WEKA, you know, in the coming months. Right. We're a very fast company. We're very agile. So it's kind of nice to see. It's fun to be someplace where, you know, we don't talk about a protocol and then take 5 years to develop it, right? It's
exactly. Yeah. It the turnaround time has been extremely advantageous from when even I just started. Well, I think one of our fellow SEs put together a little slide with a timeline on just new features that have come out in over the last like 2 years. And it is a very, very, very busy slide.
Yeah.
Like stuff is just constantly getting pushed out into development.
And we're rolling on a new GUI in 4.0, which is all exciting stuff. So we'll have a fresh new look.
It is fancy looking.
It's got colors and everything.
Right? Super reactive. It's all HTML5 based. So
should be
very performant.
Just in time to go to HTML6.
But, you know. Exactly. Just in time. Perfect.
Yeah.
Back to Shockwave. Let's just go back to Shockwave.
We'll keep developing as the things come out. I think that's it for this time, Josh. I don't know if we got anything else.
No, I think we should save it for future episodes.
All right. We're going to go bug some people and get them on to be interviewed by us. And we'll bug them to give you more information. So
perfect.
For WEKA, I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
Have a great one. Thank you.